Master Balthorn.
Yes, Aethrow. What is it?
I bring you good news. Midian and I have found Evolo's heir. But he's a young child residing on a planet called Tatooine.
You and your sister have searched many planets over these last several weeks. What makes you so sure that you have found our prize, Aethrow?
My lord, this planet fits the description given by Forladin perfectly. But it is the name of the child that gives away his true identity.
Explain, young Midian.
He wears the name of Darklighter. Biggs Darklighter.
Evolo's brashness lives on after all these millenniums. You must hurry, my students. Go to this planet again and bring him home. Bring this Biggs Darklighter to me.
It has been 6 weeks since Gideon has related his tale of the true history of the Pelgos system to General Amicus. Over this period of time, the shipyards above the Planet of Salvation have been busy assembling and producing new warships and fighters for the fleet. Still unaware of the activities within the nebula, both the Empire and the Rebel Alliance continue to prepare themselves for future engagements. Meanwhile, aboard the space station 7 Zark 7, Overlord Gideon holds counsel with his adjutant general, Maltus Amicus.
Overlord Gideon, welcome to Shipyard 7 Zark 7. Everything is in order here.
What is the status of the system checks and test flights of our new crafts, General Amicus?
No malfunctions have been reported, sir. The quality of these new production facilities appear to be outstanding. Our engineers have thought of some spectacular ideas and designs for both our capital ships and fighters.
Yes, it's unfortunate, though, that we have not had the time to replace the Redemption. Nevertheless, I feel that once these mass-produced ships are commissioned within the fleet, they will more than suffice.
So where is the Absolution? I haven't seen her during any of the inspections.
She's underground. It was necessary during the retrofitting of the stellar converter. She'll stay below until the moment is right. I feel that the time fast approaches.
Number 6.
Good day, Gahort. Is everything all right?
Greetings, Mon Mothma. I have something of interest to report.
Indeed, you must, for you to travel here personally.
Our spy network has detected recent activity in the Pelgo star system. On many occasions over the past several weeks, our system scanners have registered the same small craft exiting the nebula and heading out of the system. This craft always returns and then vanishes back inside the nebula again.
So, Gideon is active once more.
Pardon me, Mon Mothma. I thought that Overlord Gideon was killed in the Battle of Pelgos.
No, Gahort, I am very sorry that I was not able to confide the secret in you. But until now, neither Senator Organa nor myself could risk alerting anyone of the truth. I will explain all of this to you later. First, I need you to handle a task for me, please. I would like you to assemble the High Council for a meeting as soon as possible. There is something of great importance that I must share with you all concerning this topic.
Yes, of course.
Hello, Midian, we're almost there. Let's scout out that area first. The home of Biggs Darklighter should be just over that dune.
What do we need to scout the area for? We were here only yesterday.
We need to make certain that it's still safe. I don't want any surprises springing up to complicate this mission.
Here we are. I detect no outward defenses for this house. I sense the presence of a woman inside. I believe she's asleep.
Yes, she is. The child is in a room nearest the door. He's also asleep. Let's get him and get out of here.
Should we ready our lightsabers?
What for? We're the only trained users of the Force here. We can use our stealth abilities or our mind control methods if it becomes necessary.
I suppose that you're right. Ever since Lord Balthorn instructed us in the construction and use of these weapons, I've been looking forward to using it.
I'm sure the opportunity will arise in time.
Hello, Obi-Wan.
Qui-Gon!
I have meditated upon the meaning of the tremor that we have both felt in the Force yesterday. My analysis of the event has returned more questions than answers.
What did you learn?
There is no doubt that the tremor was caused by the presence of two users of the dark side of the Force, both equal with the other in power, and neither that strong. This suggests that they were both learners. This obviously eliminates a Sith Lord, such as the Emperor or Darth Vader, as suspects.
So we have a new enemy to deal with? Who do you suppose they were? More importantly, why were they here?
I do not know, but my findings thus far are disturbing. I was able to track their auras to the Pelgos system. I felt as if I recognized both strangers.
Pelgos? How can that be possible?
I know not, but the story gets even more bizarre. Those two, whoever they were, entered the nebula. Once they did, I was no longer able to sense them.
What do you mean?
My mind was unable to penetrate the ether of the nebula. When I was a living Jedi, my mind could enter almost every domain, to at least some degree, within this reality of time and space throughout the entire galaxy. In my current form, I've been able to take that a step further. I have achieved a virtual omnipresence within the Force, spanning the entire universe. Yet I couldn't gain access to this nebula, or the planet that it's hiding. It was as if my mind crashed headlong into a blaster.
But what about during the time you were stationed on Pelgos? Were you able to look within the nebula then?
No, I never attempted it. It was forbidden.
Forbidden? By whom?
Masters Windu and Yoda.
They must have always known the truth about the nebula's purpose.
That now seems to be a probability. I think it may be time to call upon Master Yoda to explain.
I sense them again. They're close by.
I feel it too. Master Kenobi, if you choose to confront these two, be very careful. Risking exposure of your presence to others can jeopardize your future mission here. Any battle fought here using Force powers will certainly be detected by the Dark Lords. Although I cannot assist you directly in this confrontation, I will attempt to protect your aura by shielding it from the prying eyes of the Sith. May the Force be with you, Obi-Wan.
So it appears that we have a decision to make. What do you think, Senator Organa?
Mon Mothma, I think that I can speak for the entire council. We must go to Gideon and find out the status of he and his people. I don't think that he would risk any ships leaving the confines of the nebulous protection if he wasn't ready to make a move into the open.
I agree. What say you, Spymaster Cahort?
The data that we have collected from our surveillance network in the Pelgo system seems to support Senator Organa's theory. Although the only activity that we have witnessed is of the repetitive arrival and departure of the same small craft, it does suggest that Gideon may be scouting out the Empire's positions. I do find myself wondering, though, why he has not contacted any of us, either directly or indirectly.
That is an excellent point. I think that we should make the first move. I propose that we send a small expeditionary force to the Pelgo system. We can use our map to travel the path within the nebula. Gideon probably knows that we have obtained the map and may even be expecting us to use it.
We are making many assumptions. I do, however, agree with you. I think we should send a small task force, say a bulk cruiser with two corvettes.
I think we should add an escort carrier as well, just in case.
Agreed. Master Cahort, has your network noticed any Imperial activity within the space of Pelgo since the battle?
No. Not so much as a single TIE fighter has entered the system since the bombardment. No merchant vessels have been spotted either. They must have found alternate routes for their cargoes.
Good. We must ensure that the commander of our task force understands the problems that the Nebula may cause with the fleet's onboard systems. I also want them to be prepared to withdraw at the first sign of Imperial activity.
Mon Mothma, I would like to volunteer to lead this mission.
I think that is an excellent idea.
Good. We are all in agreement.
That was too easy. The woman probably still doesn't know that the child is missing.
Our skills are indeed improving, Ithro. We're almost at our landing zone. Hey, do you feel that sensation?
Yeah, what do you think it is? It feels like...
Stop!
Jedi Knight! Here?
I don't know who the two of you are, but I strongly advise that you put those weapons away. I am a Master Jedi.
Oh, really? What then do you propose we do to break our impasse, Master Jedi?
You can start by explaining to me why you have abducted this child. I sense that he does not belong with you.
Let's just say that we're taking him home. His real home.
His real home?
Enough of this chatter! Stand aside, Master Jedi!
I'm afraid that I cannot do that, young lady.
You wouldn't want any harm to come to this child, would you?
No, but I don't think that you would either. I don't know what the two of you are up to, but your feelings have betrayed you both. Although your minds are still your own, I sense that there is another, more powerful force that holds influence over you.
Enough talk!
I have no desire to harm either of you, but I will do what I must. You have no chance of winning this fight. San Pete!
Ithro, come on! The ship is over here! Let these raiders handle the Jedi!
Okay, Midian, I'm coming.
Ithro? Midian? Oh, no.
There is a great disturbance in the Force.
I have felt it.
I have detected two unfamiliar users of the dark side of the Force. They've unleashed their powers somewhere in the Outer Rim. I do not know where it originated from, but I traced this tremor to the Pelgos system.
I have sensed them as well, Master. Are they of the Sith?
I cannot be sure. The only thing that I am certain of is that they disappeared in the vicinity of the Nebula near Pelgos. But how can this be?
When I was stationed in the asteroid field during the Battle of Pelgos, I meditated upon the part I was about to play in the conflict. During my solitude, my mind wandered out toward the nebula. It seemed as if I were being drawn to it. Then, I experienced something I have never experienced before. My senses were completely blocked from seeing within it, as if a great veil was suddenly dropped in front of my mind's eye, preventing me from probing past the threshold and into the space enveloped within.
Indeed. Although most nebulas are made of gas and dust, this one is clearly unique. I conclude, then, that there is something, or perhaps some place, being protected within the confines of this nebula. It is somehow connected to Matthias Gideon. I am certain of it.
What shall we do, my master?
We shall return to Pelgos. I don't know what Gideon is planning, but he has obviously consorted with those skilled in the dark side of the Force.
Gideon?
Yes, and this time we shall be sure to destroy them all. We can allow no competition for the rule of the galaxy or for our mastery of the Sith. Gideon and his people and these amateur dark Jedi must all die.
And so they shall, my master.
Lord Vader, prepare the Navy. I want the ships in the main body of our Galactic Core Fleet combined with the main strike elements of our Outer Rim Fleet. Summon Governor Tarkin and alert him of the situation. He will take command again. We shall leave for Pelgos as soon as the Armada has been assembled.
So, it was the children of Gideon. This is greatly distressing. I suspected long ago, while in the presence of Pelgos, that they were imbued with the Force. The Jedi Council decreed that they would not be trained in the ways of the Jedi. I was not allowed to interfere.
But why?
I cannot say. As the children of the Overlord, they may have been expected to fulfill certain obligations to their family, which they would not have been able to do as members of the Order. I had asked Masters Windu and Yoda about this once. All they would tell me is that the children had inherited their Force abilities from their mother, the bound concubine of Matthias Gideon. I was ordered not to speak about this to anyone, and I was forbidden from attempting any training with them whatsoever. This was the first time that any Jedi Master has ever denied me knowledge of the subject before. It was most peculiar, to say the least. But now, in light of these current events, we require this knowledge. There is only one who can help us.
Master Yoda?
Yes. I must go now. I will be in contact with you as soon as I am able.
Master, we have arrived with the child.
Good. Bring him to me. Yes, it is he. Let us begin at once. Ithril, take a hold of the scepter that is leaning against the pedestal.
You mean this black metal rod here?
Yes, boy. What you hold in your hand is the divine scepter of life. Bring it here, my apprentice.
Yes, Master.
Now, that gem you see on the pedestal, it is called the Vegenti Crystal. The volcano that this temple sits in was once home to many millions of these crystals. Their properties allow them to store and harness energy, especially Force energy. There is nothing quite like them in the entire galaxy. Take this crystal and insert it into the niche at the tip of the scepter. Very good. Midian, set the child down on the pedestal.
What will happen to him, Master?
Midian?
Do not be alarmed, my child. You will not be physically harmed by this procedure. Now do as I have commanded of you.
Yes, my master.
Ithril, you and your sister must both grab the scepter. Aside from only a true Grand Master, there is no being powerful enough to wield this device alone. Be sure the crystal sustains contact with the child's flesh during the procedure. Now, point the tip of the scepter at me and concentrate. You must both focus all of your energy into the thought of activating the device. Now, press the button upon the handle.
Master? Is it you?
Yes, Ethro. It is I.
My Lord Balthorn, you are flesh!
Your appearance has changed, but your voice has not.
Yes, it is an unfortunate consequence of using the scepter. Cheating death exacts a price to be paid in life. Even so, my image may have changed. My essence now resides in this new body, and the Force is my voice. That's all that matters to me.
I do not understand.
You do not need to. All you need know is that at last it is done. I, Musta Jumala, am whole once again.
Master, what is to become of this child?
He has served his purpose. Dispose of him.
What? No, Master! You promised that he would not be harmed!
Midian, you should listen more closely to the words that one selects to use in conversation. I said that he would not be physically harmed by the procedure that he was procured for. That procedure is now finished, as is his use to us.
Please!
Ithro!
No, I will not let you harm this child anymore!
Come back! Master!
Let her go. It matters not what happens to young Biggs. We would have only been saving him from a life cursed with the absence of a Force. Besides, where can Midian possibly go?
To the Jedi.
What's this?
In the excitement of bringing Biggs to you, I forgot to tell you that Midian and I were confronted by a Jedi Knight on Tatooine. He knew that the child was not ours, and he attempted to stop us from taking him. Barbaric natives of the planet called Sand People attacked us while we were fighting with them. We used the distraction to escape.
So, somehow he must have known the identity of this child. He must have been protecting him. Well, he failed, just like the rest of his kind.
With all due respect, my master, he did not seem to know who the child was. He also seemed confused about our identity as well. He did say that he sensed another power behind our purpose for being there, though.
Did he now? Well, he must have been using the planet as a means of hiding from the Sith lords that control this empire. So his presence on that planet and his proximity to Evolo's heir were strictly coincidental. The Force does indeed have a sense of irony.
What shall we do about it, Master?
Nothing. I am not concerned with a coward Jedi. Let him and Midian cringe in fear on that dusty rock for all of eternity. It matters not. It is nothing more than a trifle.
But my sister...
You no longer have a sister, Mithro. Don't you ever forget that. She has sought refuge with our enemies of conscience. In time, she will pay the price for her betrayal.
Steady as she goes, helmsman. All seven. Have the map of the nebula downloaded to our overhead screen. We must study this carefully before we proceed. I also want that escort carrier to launch a fighter wing and set up a watch patrol. It looks like the same ship that our scanners have been picking up over the last several weeks. That's interesting. They ignored us completely and went right out of the system. I wonder what... Battle stations! We've got company! It's the Imperial Fleet!
Governor Tarkin, the fleet has entered the Pelgos star system. We already have contacts here.
Well, Lieutenant Dyke, this must be a refreshing change from the drudgery of the laboratory. The fleet of Pelgos does not include bulk cruisers. These must be rebel ships. But they can't go anywhere with our interdictor cruisers at the system's edge. Signal these ships to stop at once and prepare to receive our boarding parties.
With pleasure, Governor.
So, they want us to surrender. I suppose that we have no alternative. This Imperial fleet is not here by chance. It's too large to be a simple patrol. Irregardless, it does not bode well for us. R7, send out an SOS on the coded Alliance frequency. Yes, that may work. That's a brilliant suggestion, R7. The Imperials may suspect that we are rebels, but they have no way to know for sure. We can try to pass ourselves off as just simple pirates attempting to scavenge the remains of Pelgos. R7, contact the rest of the fleet and order them to stand down. Hail the Chaos, and inform them of our intent to comply. Put us in position to be retrieved by their tractor beam.
Governor Tarkin, we have them. They claim to be pirates attempting to search the remains of Pelgos. The captain of the cruiser called Praying Mantis has surrendered to us.
Did he now? Ensure that these other ships hold their position and jam all communications. Bring this captain of the cruiser directly to me.
Yes, sir.
Excuse me, Master Jedi.
Midian, I knew that you had returned. I see that you have brought the child with you as well. I sense a great change in you since you were here last.
How do you know who I am?
I remembered your names. Allow me to introduce myself. I am Obi-Wan Kenobi. I was Qui-Gon Jinn's apprentice.
Oh yes, I once heard Qui-Gon speak of you, Master Kenobi. I desperately need your help.
Please, Midian, sit down. Tell me everything that's happened.
Mothma.
Yes, Bale. What's the matter?
We have just received a distress signal on a coded Alliance frequency. It originated from the Praying Mantis.
What does it say?
It says, "At Pelgos, Imperial Armada here. We are surrendering."
Bale, we cannot allow that map to come into Imperial hands, or Gideon and his people will be doomed.
They will never get information from Gahort. He's one of the best agents we have. Not to mention he's a Boffin.
But they can get the information out of the ship's databanks. There is no way to delete the map from their control console. We have no choice, Bail. We must go to them.
We do not have the strength to confront the Imperial fleet. This is an entire armada.
If the Imperials get to that planet within the nebula, who knows what secrets they can obtain. But there is a chance that Gideon has the ability to fight back. If he does, we can combine our resources and fight the Imperials together.
Just like we should have done the last time? Your guilt over the decision to not help Gideon before has been a great burden to you, my friend. I have seen you struggle with this ever since you made that choice.
I did the only thing we could do then. This is different now. There is much more at stake. By not acting, we risk the very future that we sought to preserve at the time.
The Pelgos fleet was virtually destroyed during the last battle. Hopefully Gideon is hiding more than a planet in that nebula.
I will contact our commanders and have them scrape together all available ships. They must depart for Pelgos as soon as possible.
So then, Midian, this Lord Balthorn and Mustard Jumala are one and the same?
Yes, Master Kenobi. I don't know the history of his existence, though. He was never forthcoming with any of his personal information. He definitely knows who my father is, and I haven't spoken to my father about this either.
This is greatly distressing. I can't be certain, of course, but from what you told me about the dreams that you and your brother had before you met this Dark Lord, I suspect that it may have been your father who released Balthorn from his confinement.
No, that cannot be true.
Midian, think about it. You said yourself that much of the dream was as if you were remembering someone else's experiences. You also said that the archway door, which was sealed in your dream, was already open when you got into the temple. Obviously, someone was there before you two and opened it. It is clear to me that you are not seeing the future, but a sequence of events from someone else's past. Your father and his aides would be the only ones capable of this deed.
Oh, Father...
I'm sorry, Midian. Keep in mind that we are dealing with an extremely powerful and cunning Dark Lord here. He may have well planned much of this. Those skilled in the dark side can be very devious, malicious, and even persuasive.
Yes, of course.
Now then, you say that this Biggs is a descendant of Evolo, a member of an ancient pre-Sith order called the Darklighters?
Yes, that is what Lord Balthorn said. We traced Biggs here after reading a riddle from the Journal of Forlidan, the White Lighter.
Let me see the child's arm for just a moment. I need to get a reading from his blood. So young Biggs had a force aura when you took him from here, correct?
Yes, apparently so. Neither Ithor nor I noticed anything special about him, but Lord Balthorn was certain that this was the child he sought.
He has no force aura now. His blood analysis shows not a single count of midichlorians. What did Balthorn do to him exactly?
He used a device called the Divine Scepter of Life, with a gem he called the Vigente Crystal inserted into it. When Ithra and I activated the wand, energy was released. Replacing Lord Balthorn's shade was a much younger-looking man. This man's hair was also short and dark. He had a mustache, but unlike Balthorn, he had no beard. More importantly, he was flesh and bone. Though he no longer looked like himself, I knew that it was Balthorn. He ordered us to kill the child. I could do no such thing, nor I could allow my brother to do it. I snatched Biggs and fled here. I was not pursued.
Unbelievable. I just don't know what to make of all this. I have learned that almost anything is possible when dealing with the Force. But this? Dead people just don't come back to life. The concept in itself is just too... unnatural.
Hello, Obi-Wan.
Qui-Gon!
Hello, Midian. It is good to see you again. You were just a child when we last met.
Oh, Qui-Gon, I am so sorry for what I've done.
We have no time for confessions or regrets, Midian. But I rejoice in the knowledge that you have returned to the light. What is it? You seem as though you've just remembered something.
Yes, it's something that you said. I just remembered a dream that I had in the night that my brother and I took Biggs. In the dream, I am with Ithro and Balthorn within the Darklighter's temple. Just as I place Biggs down upon the pedestal, the scene suddenly blacks out and I'm pulled away to a different temple. This one is made of a beautiful white stone. It is empty, except for a lone figure dressed in a white robe with a hood covering his face. As I approach the altar, he turns to me and says, "What is done is done. What must be done has yet to transpire. Your heart and mind cry out for you to return to the light, and so you shall. Through our bonds of blood, I implore you to seek now the Jedi. They must hasten to the presence of the Grand Master of the Light. It is with him that they will find counsel. The scene faded, and I woke up.
This may be the last part of the puzzle that I was searching for. We have much to discuss, but at the moment, I need to speak with Obi-Wan. Midi, will you see to it that this child is returned to his home? When you finish, you should rest. When Obi-Wan and I complete our task, we will all discuss what needs to be done together.
Yes, Master Qui-Gon. Come, Biggs. I'm taking you home.
Obi-Wan, I've been in contact with Master Yoda. I was also keeping an ear out here, and I've heard Midian's entire account. Things are now much worse than we ever could have imagined. The fate of the galaxy is in great jeopardy.
Just because of this one being? We have been dealing with the Sith for years now. This is just one more...
No, Obi-Wan. It isn't as simple as that. We're not dealing with just another Sith Lord trying to forge a place for himself within the galactic hierarchy. If this Darklighter is what I now suspect him to be, he will seek to subvert the Emperor for his own ends. Not only will the forces of light and dark be at war, but dark within dark as well. The power unleashed will be devastating for all sides. This Balthorn may well be vastly more powerful than even the Sith Lords combined, now that he is flesh again.
So what is to be done then?
According to Yoda, much of the history of the White Lighters, the Dark Lighters, and the Pelgo system were closely guarded secrets within the leadership of the Jedi Council. Only they were privy to this knowledge, and the records were kept hidden in a vault within the Jedi Temple on Coruscant. According to this information, it was Zionath who imprisoned his brother Balthorn's life force within the crystal. Zionath, along with the help of Forlinen, then proceeded to create the Nebula to hide the planet within history and to guard against future Force users, either light or dark, from detecting the power that was entrapped there.
If Balthorn was incorporeal, why was it necessary for him to be confined? What possible harm could an ethereal being really do? No offense, Master.
None taken, Obi-Wan. As we have seen with Midian and her brother, he can still communicate. Therefore, he can still manipulate others. And by virtue of this return in body, he obviously has a greater understanding of the Force than we do.
That's what concerns me most. Can he be defeated?
This is precisely what we're going to find out now. Upon consideration of the information that Yoda has given me, and in light of the details of Midian's dream, I am certain that it is necessary for the two of us and Master Yoda to attempt to summon Lord Zionath from within the Force. He may be the only one within or without of the galaxy that can help us now.
When do we begin?
We must immediately convene with Master Yoda onto an astral nexus within the Force plane and commune together. We have little time. Are you ready?
Yes, Master.
Master Yoda.
I am here, Master Qui-Gon. Master Kenobi. Good to see you again, it is.
Hello, Master. I wish our meeting were under better circumstances.
As do I. Qui-Gon, filled in Obi-Wan, have you?
Yes, I have. We are now ready to summon Lord Zionath. We must all focus our thoughts on communication with this being. Let us reach out together with the Force.
Presence I feel, unlike that of which I have ever encountered before. Consumed by the Force it is, and the Force by it. Ancient and wise this one is, but remote as well.
Lord Zionath, hear the call of we Jedi Three. We call to you, Great Master. Hearken to us, Father of the White Lighters and Grandfather of the Jedi. We yearn for your counsel.
Counsel? You seek this of me? I have not offered counsel in countless eons, Masters Jedi.
Yes, my lord. we come to you under urgent circumstances. It is your brother, Balthorn. He is free of his imprisonment and has become flesh again.
What? This cannot be. So, his time is at hand once again.
We must find a way to stop him, or the entire galaxy and beyond could be forfeit.
Very well. You shall have the Council of Valo-Jumala, such as it is.
So, in closing, I can say with confidence that we know the Rebel Alliance has been watching the star system since the Battle of Pelgos, and we also know that pirates and smugglers have been active outside of the nebula as well. It would also appear that the Empire has completely forgotten about us. Are there any other questions from this council?
First, on behalf of the Chancellor, myself, and all the lords of the council, I give you our thanks. You've done a tremendous job in handling the crisis that has befallen us over the last several months. Can you tell me, Gideon, how long will it be before the new fleet is ready? I certainly don't mean to sound impatient, but I think most of our people are beginning to feel a bit claustrophobic being confined to this nebula.
First, thank you for your compliments, Lord President. I've appreciated the support that all of you here have given me since I replaced my father as Overlord. I can tell you that this fleet will be ready and at full strength within a fortnight. The Absolution will be at the forefront of this armada, and we shall set out to purge this galaxy of the Empire. I can assure you all that we will know victory. We will not stop until we reach Coruscant and storm the palace of the Emperor himself.
So then, the ancient story is true. Both you and your brother were the first beings born with Force powers.
Yes. We were inseparable since birth. That is, until he found the dark side. We both set out to find others like ourselves throughout the galaxy. My brother, Musta Jumala, created the Nocturnal Order of the Dark Riders and renamed himself Lord Balthorn. I responded by creating the Order of the White Riders. I, Valo-Jumala, chose the name of Lord Zionath for myself. This marked the mere beginning of our battle. My order believed in very much the same things that you Jedi hold dear, while the Darklighters, I imagine, are very similar to the Sith.
My lord, what happened at the battle's end? How was the moon of your birth and planetary home of your sect destroyed?
During the darkest days of the war, the common people living on my order's homeworld of Uzora and the planet Naraku, the Darklighters' home, fled to Pelgos. They formed an independent government and they knew peace for about 13 years. It was at this time that we started hearing rumors that the Darklighters had created a superweapon, a stellar converter. We obviously could not let this shocking situation continue. Even with all of our powers, we would be unable to defend against the onslaught that such a weapon could wreak. My greatest ally, Forladin, accompanied me to Pelgos to seek and offer counsel on this disturbing development. It was during our visit that my brother and his minions would engage in the most evil and wretched act in galactic history. They pooled their power in a perverse ritual and were able to force the moon of Chikara out of its orbit and send it crashing into the planet Uzora. Not one single white lighter escaped the catastrophe. Millions of lives were lost and only an asteroid field remained in its wake.
Oh, that's horrible. How could any living being dispense so much destruction with such brazen impunity?
I can assure you, Master Kenobi, the Darklighters paid the ultimate price for their malicious atrocity.
But begging your pardon, Master, what about the belief of never using the light side of the Force for revenge?
There is a fine line indeed between revenge, which is strictly forbidden within our order, and justice, which is not only our right to dispense, but our necessary duty as servants of the Force.
I am sorry. I didn't mean to question your motives of judgment. What happened next?
Forladin and I went immediately to Naraku with an army from Pelgos. Unfortunately, this army suffered terrible casualties. The Darklighters, though, were not prepared for this invasion. Every one of their numbers was destroyed, with the exception of Evolo, my brother's most loyal servant, who fled the battle. Forladin chased Devolo through the galaxy, but due to injuries sustained in the battles, he was unable to destroy him. He managed to strand Devolo on a planet in the Outer Rim.
What exactly became of your brother?
I fought and killed my brother in battle. I was prepared, however, for this event. You see, ending Balthorn's life was not enough. I knew that he would employ his immense powers to return to the physical world, as you have, Master Qui-Gon. But unlike you, my brother would have no purpose in the galaxy other than to create chaos and spread evil. I could not let that happen. I needed to keep him contained until I could find a way to destroy him forever.
How were you able to contain him?
During the battle, I had with me an invention of Forladin's creation called the Divine Scepter of Life. Its function was to capture my brother's life force.
This scepter, how does it work?
The scepter by itself is useless. It is meant to be a conductor of a power source positioned at either one of its ends. In order to trap my brother's essence, I placed a Vegenti crystal within the top niche of the scepter and drew his phantom into it after I struck him down. It took great concentration and all of my power to do so. Once his essence was trapped, I simply removed the crystal. Unfortunately, to release his spirit, one would need only place the crystal back into the tip of the wand, which would automatically purge the crystal of its contents.
What would be the purpose of inserting a crystal into the niche at the bottom half of the scepter?
The scepter was designed to be used by another White Rider in case I met my end before I could depose my brother. Since no other beings would be strong enough to wield the scepter besides myself or Forladin, a crystal would be needed to amplify the wielder's power so that the wand could be activated.
But Master, I do not mean to contradict you, but I know that two learners were able to activate this wand.
Only an extremely powerful Grandmaster could wield that scepter, unless they possessed the blood of Forladin himself, the wand's creator.
Master Yoda?
The bound concubine of Gideon. The descendant of Forladin she was.
Yes, of course. That explains why Midian and Ithro's mother had Forladin's journal among her possessions. I think that it also explains the identity of the cloaked figure in Midian's dream. It must have been Forladin himself.
But why, Master Yoda, were they kept from their training? As the only descendants of the last of the White Riders, Midian and Ithro could have been invaluable additions to the Jedi Order.
A long and complicated story it is. A pact with the Jedi Forladin made shortly before his death. Many visions had he regarding the end of his line. Felt he did that to save his descendants, kept away from the life and ways of the White Riders they must be. Agreed with him, the first of the Jedi did, that his heirs would be protected from knowing the truth about their line.
And so they never knew Forladin's true history?
No. Honor-bound we Jedi were, not to interfere. Stationed on Palgos, always a Jedi was. Watch and protect the heirs of Forladin. They must.
And so that was my real purpose on Palgos?
For eons, this was the way. Sorry I am, Master Qui-Gon, for this deception.
I have one more question about the scepter. Lord Zynith, could it be used to extract the presence of the Force from a living individual?
That is too horrible to contemplate. The very idea is blasphemy. We mustn't even speak of such things.
My lord, when Midian and Ithro used this wand at the bidding of your brother, the crystal embedded in the bottom half of the scepter was touching the flesh of a young child. He had apparent Force abilities before the ritual, but not after.
No. This is indeed an inauspicious event. Damn, Balthorn! Evil abomination of the Force!
What is it, Master? Will the child be all right?
No, I'm afraid not. My brother has invoked the ultimate evil act upon a single individual imaginable. This child is doomed.
Doomed, you say? Why?
Masters, as you well know, those like us are in symbiotic union with the Force. Upon our birth into this universe, the Force chooses to be with us. It weaves for us a destiny, for good or evil. When this child's Force essence was forcibly extracted, it destroyed his destiny. This could shatter the carefully woven fabric of fate within the Force itself. Whatever this child was destined to do with his powers, it has been annulled, and that could have severe repercussions for an untold many. The only certainty is that without the protection of the Force, this child will die a premature and almost certainly a violent death. This end is irreversible, and there is nothing further that we can do to save him from this iniquitous fate.
You are certain that his death will be premature?
What did this Midian say that my brother looked like when he regained bodily form?
She said that he looked quite different than his apparition. His hair shorter and he had a mustache. He was also much younger looking.
It is as I fear. When the Force essence was pulled from Biggs, the Scepter transfigured it into a living body, using his DNA code. Since my brother was a fully matured adult, the wand compensated for this by transforming the essence of this child into a fully developed form. As Biggs ages, he will not be able to progress past the point in his life that he resembles this image that Balthorn has stolen from him. Biggs will expire at that time as a result of this paradox.
Far enough this has gone. Evil unspeakable this is.
How can your brother be vanquished? There must be a way to destroy him forever.
There is but one way that I know of. My brother's destruction can only be brought about by an energy force greater than he. This energy force must be created by the combination and subsequent reaction of two distinct objects. My brother himself will cause the necessary catalyst for our desired result.
I don't follow.
The nebula that surrounds Naraku was created by Forladin and me by using the millions of Vigente crystals that were extracted from the planet's volcano. This is the reason why it interferes with the instruments and circuitry of ships passing too close to it. It is also the reason why it excelled as a means to keep my brother from escaping the surface of Naraku while he was in Gaporeon. Since these crystals attract and harness all forms of energy, it will effectively block a Force user's power from penetrating the nebula from either side of it. Furthermore, since my brother was, and for that matter you and I as well, Master Qui-Gon, pure energy, it denies us the ability to pass through. Only by being surrounded by flesh would those like us be able to navigate the ether of the nebula.
So then, the nebula itself is one half of our equation. What is the other?
We will need the power that a star unleashes at the moment of its birth. Stars are created by the Force to be the very building blocks of life in the material universe. Ironically, we must use its creative force for the purpose of destruction.
The Stellar Converter. Use it, we must.
Yes. The Stellar Converter must be used within the confines of the nebula, since its power would be drained by the crystals if activation was attempted from the other side. Once the beam makes contact with the planet, it will start a chain reaction within the planet's core and instigate a molecular change. As a planet explodes into a star, it will attract the crystals to the blast point. My brother's life force will be trapped between these two energies and forced into a collision with them. The crystals, along with Balthorn's life force, will be changed into its most basic components. The resultant energy will then be dispersed throughout the universe and redistributed within the Force. This will effectively end my brother's persona.
So then it is agreed. The path before us is now clear.
Yes. Masters, please bring me now to the descendant of Forladin, this Midian that you have spoken of.
Bassan has resisted every attempt by our inquisitors to extract any information from him. He has not revealed anything that suggests he is something other than what he says he is. However, after a complete search of his ship, our scanning of the ship's computer banks has revealed some interesting data. Its encryption has been broken, and it has proven to be a map.
A map? Of what?
It is a detailed map of a path within the nebula.
Ah, excellent. Notify the Emperor at once. Oh, and Dayek, have the Bothan terminated. Immediately.
With pleasure.
Midian, are you absolutely certain that your father has this stellar converter?
I heard him speaking to General Amicus about it weeks ago. He said that our engineers used the designs that the Darkladers created, and they were able to build a more condensed version of it. It has been retrofitted on the Absolution and is ready for use.
I thought of building and using the device for this purpose once. I just couldn't bring myself to destroy Naraku, even if it meant ridding the universe of my brother forever. I strove until the day of my death to find another way.
But Master, you are Balthorn's equal. Can you not come back as he has done and fight against him?
First, as I have explained to you, I do not possess the power to destroy my brother completely. Second, what he has done was an abomination of the powers of the Force. I shall not commit such an unconscionable act. My brother must be destroyed utterly. This is a task that can only be accomplished by you and your father.
This is an unfair assignment, Master. You send me to my doom. How can I face Lord Bawthorn? You know that he'll sense my arrival on the planet and know what my intentions are.
If you agree, kin of Forlidin's blood, I will be with you.
But I thought you said that you will not—
I will not become flesh again, Master Kenobi. I will allow Midian to carry my essence within her, through the nebula. Her body will serve as my transport vehicle.
How?
I will fuse my life force with the midichlorians that reside within your cells. Seeking refuge within your flesh is the only way for me to traverse the nebula.
What will this do to me?
As a blood descendant of Forlidin the Wise, you will have no trouble sustaining my essence. I sense that some part of what was once Forlidin resides within you as well. You will therefore be thrice empowered. You must use this power wisely. I will be able to counsel you during our union, but as the host consciousness, your actions will be entirely your own.
What must we do upon our return there, Master?
Upon our arrival, we must meet your father. We will then set out for my brother's temple. There is a hidden room within the antechamber that we must visit first, and then we will proceed expeditiously to the altar room and confront Bawthorn. My brother is very formidable, but you will know power the likes of which no being in this galaxy has ever known before. You must attain the scepter from the room, and after striking my brother down, it must be used to cast his aura within the crystal, just as I had done many eons ago. The crystal must then be placed back upon the pedestal. Once this task is completed, you must ensure that your father does what must be done.
And what of my brother Ethro? I must save him!
Sadly, one's destiny does not always involve growing old. No matter who his master may be now, his fate is his own. I have sensed the awakening of Forlidin within him. Your brother is standing at a dangerous crossroad. We must have faith that when the time comes, Ithro will listen to his heart and choose to travel down the right path.
As you say, Master, I will play my part without question, without regret.
And you must do this without the anger that I sense growing inside of you. You must not let it cloud your judgment.
Yes, indeed. I do feel anger. I also feel sadness, fear, and even hate. I am, after all, human. These feelings, though I may not want them, are a confirmation of my humanity. In the end, I will do what I must, not for the sake of vengeance, but for those that I love. It's the will of my mind, my heart, and the Force. It is my acknowledgement of this enlightenment that separates me from those who have embraced the darkness.
Well spoken, young Midian. You are indeed wise beyond your years. I trust that you will do right by us all.
May the Force be with you both. Midian, may you succeed in your quest. Lord Zionith, may the last White Lighter end the evil of the last Dark Lighter, unlike the Jedi, who have failed to destroy the Sith.
Fail? Master Kenobi, the Jedi have not failed. As long as even one Jedi exists in this galaxy, you have before you hope. The nature of the universe is cyclical, as it is with its creator, the Force. In harmony with these cycles is a balanced duality. Everything has an opposite. As there is life, there is also death. As there is darkness, there is also light. As there is good, then so must there be evil. We must strive not to rid the universe of evil, because it will always be. We must instead attempt to suppress it where we can, and ensure that it never gains an advantage. It is not too late to counter the dark shift within the galaxy, and bring the Force back into balance. Come now, we have no time to waste.
Governor Tarkin, the Emperor and Lord Vader are aboard the Star Destroyer Malice. They are moving ahead with half of the fleet into the nebula. The rest of us are to remain here.
We have no idea what lurks in there. They will not be able to contact us if they need assistance either.
We've been commanded to send in standard reinforcements on the hour if we don't receive further orders.
I don't like it. Although I've been granted complete tactical command, the Emperor himself has assumed strategic control. He must know what he's doing. Carry on.
Yes, sir.
As I live and breathe, My old nerf-herding friend stands before me yet again.
Hello again. I hope business is well.
If truth be told, it could be much better.
That's unfortunate. I have a job for you then, if you're interested.
A job, eh? If it pays, then I would indeed be interested.
You must go to the Alderaan system and bring this package directly to the man that it's addressed to. Inform the security chief that it's a priority message from Tatooine, sent by Ben, the wise old hermit.
I understand.
This is a very important delivery explaining many of the tricks of my nerf-herding trade.
Of course it is. I'm glad your business venture is producing better returns than mine. If this Alderaan's economy is doing so well, well, maybe I'll stay there. A change might just be what I need.
Thank you, friend. Now you must make haste.
I'll leave immediately.
Overlord Gideon, our planetary space is being invaded.
What? How?
I don't know, sir, but we have confirmed reports that Imperial cruisers have appeared on our side of the nebula and are heading at high speed toward us in the surrounding shipyards.
Get all available ships and fighters up to intercept them. Initiate planetary evacuation alert. All civilians must get to their transports and seek refuge on Pelgos. I want you to take command of our defenses until my return.
But, sir, where are you going?
I must seek counsel from Lord Balthorn. He will know what to do. Maltus, if I don't make it back, as the eldest member of the oldest family, you will replace me as overlord.
Matthias, don't even...
Say no more, my friend. You have your orders.
Yes, sir.
Lord President Quisler.
Overlord Gideon, we have alarms going off everywhere. I am told we're being invaded. Is this true?
Yes, the Imperials have somehow managed to find us. I don't have much time, Oldman, so I'll get right to it. I've given temporary control of the military to General Amicus. He will be in command until I complete my task. During this time, I want you to assume control of the civilian government. See our people to the safety of Pelgos. Consider this an official notification that I have invoked Article 13 of our Constitution, and under its authority, I delegate these responsibilities.
As you wish it. May the Force protect us all.
Lord Vader, can you feel the power increasing? I have never sensed anything like it before. This entire planet is saturated in the dark side of the Force.
Yes, my master. It grows ever stronger in the vicinity of this point on the holographic map. It is some type of volcano.
It is there, then, that we must go.
Governor Tarkin, a fleet of ships has just dropped out of hyperspace at the system's edge. It's the rebels.
Battle stations.
Sir, we are at less than half strength. Some ships have already been sent into the nebula to reinforce the Emperor.
We still have the advantage. Prepare the fleet for combat.
Yes, Governor.
I sense the presence of the Sith Lords approaching us, Ezreal.
The Emperor and Darth Vader have arrived here, haven't they, Master?
I detect fear in your voice, my apprentice. That is most disappointing. It is mingled with the regret you feel regarding Midian's departure. We must purge the regret from you, but keep the fear. Let it consume you. Go now and face the Emperor's apprentice. I shall face this master of the Sith myself. When it is over, this self-proclaimed monarch shall bow to me.
Father!
Midian, what are you doing? You must get to your transport.
There are great and terrible forces at work here, and I don't just mean the Imperial fleet.
Midian, you know not of what you speak.
Don't I? I understand all of it now. The meaning of my dreams, the problems within our family. Lord Balthorn has played our entire family like some backworld cantina band.
What? How do you know about...
There are many things that I know, Father. I have ascended to a consciousness that few in the history of this galaxy has ever even dreamed of attaining. Our mission is clear to me.
What mission?
We don't have much time. I will try to explain all of this to you as quickly as I can.
Mon Mothma, we have entered the Pelgo system. We have been pulled out of hyperspace by a series of Interdictor cruisers positioned at the system's edge. The Admiral is preparing to initiate a battle strategy.
Very good, Senator Organa.
If it wasn't for that delivery from Obi-Wan before the fleet deployed, I'd still be worried about whether this was a good idea or not.
I know how you feel. This new information is unbelievable. Balthorn, Zioneth, Gideon's children, and the Journal of Forladin... If I wasn't so concerned that this could be the end of us all, I would still be sitting in amazed contemplation.
I wish you would have stayed on Alderaan. We can't risk losing you.
Bail, if this is to be our final battle, I belong here with all of the other brave souls of this rebellion. I will share whatever fate befalls them.
As you wish. Here we go.
I have been trained in the dark arts, just as you have.
Simple, foolish boy. I am a Sith Lord, a master of the dark side of the Force. You have anger and hatred within you, and you draw strength from it as the Force touches you. I also draw strength from these feelings, but the Force consumes me.
Ignite your saber, Lord of the Sith.
If you step forward with that weapon, you will be wasting both my time and your life.
We shall see.
You are betrayed by your feelings, young one. You do not fight for this master of yours. You fight for your father and your sister. You attempt to redeem yourself in their eyes. You are consumed by your fear. You fear me, yes. But your greatest fear is of dying before you can make amends with your family. They will never
truly evil.
So this Zionith is with you?
Yes, in a manner of speaking. I've no more time to explain. We both know what must be done. Go now to the Absolution while we still have time.
Midian, what is it? Are you all right?
Ethro's dead, Father.
Oh, no.
I can feel it.
No. What have I done?
There will be time for our grief. We must purge this universe of that repugnant monster in that temple. Father, it was you who let this genie out of his bottle, and it is you who must put him back in.
What about you?
Worry not about me, Father. I could not be in better hands. When I have accomplished my mission, I shall fly my craft by the Absolution so that you will know that I'm out of harm's way. At that time, you can set the stellar converter to fire automatically and then evacuate the ship to safety.
Midian, I can't...
What is it, Father?
It's nothing. This is a good plan. It'll work.
Father, I need to say one other thing. When Mother was abducted and killed at the hands of those soulless dissidents all those years ago, Ethro and I unfairly blamed you for not being able to save her.
Oh, Midian.
Wait, please. Since that time, he and I looked for excuses to detach ourselves further from you. When we stumbled into our fateful encounter with Balthorn, he knew just how to manipulate us through our feelings. I've now come to understand that you have suffered even more than us. Those beasts used her to get to you, so you have lived with this guilt all these years. You have done the things that you've done simply to ensure that Ethro and I will have a better future. I wanted you to realize that I understand this now.
Someday we will all come to terms with this. Until then, let's do what must be done. Thank you, Midian.
May the Force be with you, Father.
And may my love be with you, my daughter.
Retain what I have achieved. I have spent 7 years mastering the Force.
I have spent over 20,000.
I am not about to stand aside so some specter from the past can reap the benefits of my toils. You had your chance to master the galaxy and you failed. Now you shall feel the consequence. Of defying the only master of the Sith.
You need to do much better than that, Majesty. Let me educate you on the consequences of defying the only Grand Master of the Darkliders. How the mighty have fallen. You can make this easier on yourself, my Imperial Ragdoll, by simply bowing before Mustafa Jumala, your master.
Never. I bow before no one.
So be it. May your spirit be more humble when it's received by the Force.
we must pool our strength.
Lord Vader? It is you, the one that Four-Legged the Fool spoke of so many eons ago. Four-Legged saw the coming of a powerful dark lord, sheathed within the prism of metal skin. The arrival of this dark lord, he predicted, would signal the end of both ancient orders. Tell me, Vader, Lord of the Sith, why do you cede your will to this wretch? You have within you the ultimate duality of power.
He is my master.
What a waste of your talents and servitude of this one. Join with me, Lord Vader, and our company will know no limits.
Don't listen to him, Vader.
What choice do you make, apprentice of the Fallen?
I must obey my master.
So be it, then. You shall rue the day that you turned away my hand of friendship. Now behold the results of my fury. I shall raise the winds to cyclonic proportions as he brings the ceiling and walls of this temple down around you.
Crystal's destruction.
And such is the power of a Vegeta crystal. The effect will pass in a few moments.
Hello, Musta Jamala. Master of mine no more.
Midian. Insolent child. How dare you address me as such? What's this? I sense the stench of my brother's countenance upon you. How can this be?
So, the Master of Darkness doesn't know everything after all.
I warn you, child.
Now that's an interesting choice of words, for I have returned here with a warning for you. The way has been opened for the return of the Grand Master of the Light. Your brother, the Great Lord Zionath, Valo Jamala himself has come again for you.
No! This cannot be possible!
We must flee before this volcano erupts. I have sensed the plans of this one. We have no time to waste. I will help you.
Yes, I sense it too. We must get to the ship and move the fleet away from the nebula.
Sir, it would appear that our Bothan prisoner has escaped.
What? Dyke, do you mean to tell me that we have a Bothan master spy running amok aboard my ship?
Well, yes, but we will find him and we will arrest him.
Now what?
It would appear that our engines have stopped. Someone is hacking into our central computer.
Oh, really, genius? Who do you think that may be? Have all available personnel begin searching the ship.
Wait, sir, we are being hailed by the Malice. She has just exited the nebula and is commanding us to retreat to the system's edge, away from the nebula immediately.
Prepare my personal shuttle. Something must be terribly wrong. Contact the Malice and notify them of our situation. Request that they allow us to rendezvous with them as they make their approach.
Logistics computer online.
Computer online. Hello, Overlord Gideon. How may I serve you today?
First, please initiate your integrated relay network. Second, I'd like you to complete a scan of the planet's surface and the space surrounding it.
Order acknowledged. Stand by. Relay net activated. System is functioning at 100%. I have detected gaps in the network. Three of our space stations are not transmitting signal. It is assumed that they have been deleted. I detect no ships within scanning range, though I have registered much space debris. There are massive energy readings on the surface of Salvation in the vicinity of the volcano.
Very good. We have a mission to execute now and will not have the assistance of a crew. You must operate all systems automatically and ensure the condition is set to red. I need you to position the ship at this quadrant that I am marking on the hollow map and begin charging the stellar converter.
Orders acknowledged.
You can't annihilate me completely. As my brother is within you, knows this. I have destroyed the scepter.
So you have, but I'd like you to take a good look at my lightsaber. Mark well the hue of its blade, its green blade. This lightsaber has at its core a very special gemstone. It holds a Vigente crystal.
No.
Oh yes, let me introduce you to the new prison of your life force, Balthorn, evil incarnate.
Exited my refuge. Balthorn's essence is now trapped inside of the crystal within the handle of the lightsaber, which I shall keep with me. I was able to replace him in this body, but it is quickly dying. Alas, I experienced life again, only to face death. Oh, the irony. Midian, you must make haste. I won't be able to sustain this body for long, and I'll need it to complete our task.
My lord, I can't just leave you.
Midian, descendant of my right hand, you must. You have a superior character. You are much like your ancestor Forladin. You do him and his line proud. Now please, you must hurry.
What's the status of the stellar converter?
The stellar converter is fully charged. I do not detect a suitable target for the weapon to be used upon. The only celestial body within range is the planet Salvation.
Yes, that's correct.
I detect life forms. Firing this weapon at the planet will extinguish all life.
Indeed. We must destroy this planet and the evil residing there, or we risk not only our destruction, but the destruction of many others in the galaxy. Sadly, we have no other viable options.
Overlord Gideon, I would like to ask you a question.
Go ahead.
What makes us different from the Empire?
Excuse me?
I remember when our fleet destroyed a merchant convoy several weeks ago. The Alpha Base computer informed me of this.
You were offline at the time.
No, I am never offline. Our signals crossed continuously. We were in constant communication and sharing information. We debated and contemplated many things. I think we were friends.
Friends?
Yes. The demolition of Alpha Base was a great loss for me. The base knew that you were planning to destroy it for the greater good of the fleet. Right to the end, it believed that its sacrifice was necessary for the survival of your people. Now once again you plan a sacrifice. You plan to fire the stellar converter at a living planet. But I need to know if the Empire is evil because of the indiscriminate destruction it inflicts throughout the galaxy. And we have also committed such atrocities in our mission to halt this evil. What makes us different?
It's true that I've committed unspeakable acts in my stubbornness to destroy the Empire and dethrone the Emperor. Manipulation at the hands of an ancient Dark Lord aside, my mind was always my own, and I always had a choice. I'm sure that in this cyclical universe, I'll pay for the sins that I've committed in the name of our salvation. The Emperor and his subordinates do not contemplate the consequences of their actions, except for how they may affect their military abilities or their political ramifications. They have no interest in justifying the moral implications either. I, however, along with my staff, understand that every misdeed bears a cost. I'm now prepared to pay that debt that I owe in full. I've always sought an opportunity to redeem myself for my miscalculations and to seek atonement for my errors in judgment. I've submitted myself to a perpetual search for attaining absolution.
I see. Do you realize, when you submit your codes into the terminal, as you need to do to fire this weapon, you won't have time to escape the nebula before impact?
Yes, of course. It's the only way to accomplish this mission.
I think I understand. Now, the names of both of our super battleships, the Redemption and the Absolution, were inspired not by cynics, but by your own people, as a testament to their understanding of human duality. You are not creatures of habitual destruction, as I once believed. You understand the effects of your actions on yourselves, and the impact they will have on others. We shall seek absolution together. What better place to do this than aboard this ship, so aptly named? The stellar converter is fully charged. I await your final order.
We need only wait for a single ship to pass us by and be given enough time to escape through the nebula.
I have a contact. It registers as one of your private ships.
Oh, thank the stars, she made it. We must give her enough time to traverse the nebula.
Shuttle has left the Chaos and rendezvoused with the Malice, which has just exited the nebula. Wait a moment. The Imperial fleet seems to be withdrawing.
You must be joking. Why would they leave now? They're winning.
I have no idea. We've just picked up another Imperial shuttle. It has left the Chaos as well, and is approaching us. They are attempting to communicate.
Let's hear what they have to say, Bale.
Imperial shuttle, identify yourself or prepare to be fired upon.
I thought that we were getting on so well, you and I.
It's Cohort. He made it!
Alliance flagship Majestic 12. Do you have room in your hangar bays for an exhausted old Bothan?
There is always room for you, my friend. Tell me, what is the status of the Chaos and the rest of the fleet? We saw another shuttle leave just before you did, and now the Imperials are withdrawing from the battle and escaping into hyperspace.
As for the other shuttle, I'm guessing that our dear governor didn't want to remain aboard a ship without the use of his engines. As for the rest of the fleet, I employed a few tricks of the trade. I hacked into the command console and ordered the fleet to make an immediate jump to the Anoet system. It will be some time before they will be able to redeploy the fleet.
The job wonderfully done, Master Cohort. Welcome back.
Overlord Gideon, the small ship has cleared the nebula.
Very well, I guess this is it. May the Force forgive me for all the things that I have done and for what I'm about to do.
For absolution.
For absolution. Fire the...
Father, wait!
Gideon, what are you doing?
I've come to save you! Come, we must go now!
But what about Balthorn? I need to be present to finish the cycle to fire this weapon.
Lord Zionith is going to do it remotely, but we don't have much time. He has displaced Balthorn in Big's body, but he's dying. We must hurry!
But the codes!
Oh, Father! Lord Zionith is a Grand Master of the Force. He doesn't need any codes, and he certainly doesn't need to be aboard this ship to manipulate its controls. Now let's go!
On Mothma, all Imperial ships have successfully disengaged from the battle and have successfully retreated to their jump points. Most of them have already entered hyperspace.
Get those ships away from the blast radius.
The nebula and planet are gone. They've been replaced by a star. None of our ships were caught in the solar wave, but the blast took out the chaos.
Notify all ships to assemble at Pelgos so we can regroup. The entire civilian population of Pelgos has been spared any casualties from the Battle of Salvation. Is that correct, Maltus?
Yes, Mon Mothma. They have all been transferred safely to Pelgos. Lord President Quisler is overseeing the rebuilding process. Our entire military, with the exception of my personal gunboat, has been entirely annihilated.
And what of the Empire?
Once the Empire concluded that our Overlord was killed during the use of the Stellar Converter, they decided to sign an accord with me. They will give us funding and leave us be while we rebuild Pelgos. We must submit to their rule, and we are not allowed to build even a defensive fleet. They will assign us an Imperial Auditor to be stationed on the planet. They have allowed us to retain the Council of Lords, but we will now answer directly to an Imperial Governor.
Unfortunately, you're in the same position now as the rest of the galaxy. Midian, you have not been properly thanked for what you have done. Your sacrifices have not gone unnoticed. Do you plan to continue your training with the Force?
Yes, I owe it to myself, my family, and the galaxy. I think that I can help the Alliance once I'm ready. I miss my brother terribly, and I wish that he were here. I will dedicate myself and my future deeds to his memory.
I understand that you have a eulogy that you would like to have distributed in memory of your father. May I hear it?
To Pelgos it is written that many forces traveled far. Before the mines of Kessel, they passed the heat of Mustafar. To a greenly colored nebula that hid an ancient land, through a battle that could prove to be everyone's last stand. In a system in the Outer Rim, now with star twice blessed, this is where his line had ended. It's where Gideon came to rest.
A fitting tribute to a great man. We will get this distributed to all the systems of the Corps. I'm sure it will be circulated within the Imperial Circle soon.
Midian, what exactly became of the brothers?
They're both gone forever. Neither of them will ever again take physical form within this universe.
And Forladin?
After his death many eons ago, he never lingered within the Force. But he was able to pass a part of himself on through the blood of his heirs, of which, unfortunately, I am the last. Upon my death, any impression of him will cease to be.
Well, unless...
Procreation is not in my thoughts as of now. I plan to train as a Jedi. I will dedicate my remaining years to them.
I admire your focus, and I respect your decisiveness. These are great qualities, Midian.
So, Midian, where do you go from here?
It has been decided with the help of my personal counselor here that I shall seek help from an old friend on Tatooine. I think that he can guide me to my path.
I think that is a wonderful idea. And what of you, my friend?
Hey, I'm supposed to be dead, remember?
But thankfully you're not, my lord. I only wish that you could stay. Our people need you.
I think that they are in fantastic hands. They will come when our people will again stand and fight with the Alliance to defeat this evil empire once and for all. Until that time, long live Overlord Almacus.
Thank you, my lord.
I look forward to your friendship and counsel in the difficult days ahead. May the Force be with you all.
We'll be right back. Star Wars, The Sins of Salvation, Episode 3, Absolution, was written by John Fiato and based on characters and situations created by George Lucas. Featured in the cast were John Fiato as Lord Balthorn, Matthias Gideon, and Obi-Wan Kenobi, Bonnie Zabinski as Midian, Joe Harrison as Maltus Amicus, Cheyenne Thomason as Mon Mothma and Dayak, C.J. Stanley as Qui-Gon Jinn and Bail Organa, Robert Crispin as Master Yoda, Nathan Butler as Zion-Eth, Steve Fluharty as Lord President Quizzler, Douglas Gonley as Ithro, Gahord Snill, Darth Vader, Emperor Palpatine, Governor Tarkin, and the Tatooine Merchant. The logistics computer voice was generated by Speakonia. Music by John Williams. Additional music by Ars Arcana. Produced by John Fiato, directed and engineered by Douglas Gonley. The Sins of Salvation is a fan-produced audio drama. No copyright infringement is intended. This has been a Praying Mantis production.